Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the theater arts and culture podcast for the Twin Cities and beyond the beyond, all the way in radio land and beyond, and the internet radio land, podcast land. I'm Kevin Couchman, joined this beautiful evening here in St. Paul, coming to you from the University Club now for a couple of months on beautiful Summit, historic Summit Avenue. That's where I am right now. I got the best view in the city. But I got a great view in my Zoom screen, too, because I'm joined by Amanda Forstrom. Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, Kevin. I'm excited to talk all things Dark Pony Radio, Bad Mouth TC mashups, co-pros, and a lot of exciting things on the horizon. So, yeah, if anybody hasn't guessed who we're having on as our guest this episode, it is none other than Matt Kelly. Matt,
hello.
How are you?
Good. Glad to be back. I'm excited.
Friend of the pod. Friend of the theater, fellow theater collaborator. We've got stuff to promote, and I'm just going to get it right out of the way. You're going to get sick of hearing about this. We are finally producing My Play Moderation, a dark comedy about social media content moderators losing their minds at work, featuring Amanda Forstrom at The Hive in St. Paul from October 3rd to October 13th. It's not even August. We're already talking about it. This theater takes time. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of people to get together to put butts in seats. Go to moderationplay.com. Tickets are on sale now. This is a play that I've worked on for 5 years. I first drafted this play in 2019. It's had multiple readings at theater companies in New York, Washington, D.C., most recently Valdez, Alaska, Los Angeles. I've got people in London talking about doing the play. We're going to do it here in sleepy little St. Paul, Minnesota, at The Hive, and it's going to feature Amanda, and Amanda's got her hand up here. Amanda, are you ready?
I just have to say that 94.1 Frogtown Radio, if you are listening right now, this is a world premiere production of Kevin's play. World premiere production taking place in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And that's a huge thing, Kevin, because you've had readings all over the U.S., and some interest in London and Italy, I think, as well, right?
Yeah, there's Italy is a different play, but yes, things are happening. And this play, it's so funny because I wrote it in 2019, and everybody said to me, "Man, this play is so topical," in kind of a depressed way because the play is rather dark. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, this is the world that we live in. I promise it's going to move fast. It's going to be entertaining. We've got, great talent in it. And we've gathered a group of people that are going to put together something really cool and unique and new. And so we're excited. We're excited to share that with you all. And what else do you have to say, Amanda? Are you ready to memorize your lines?
Jeez, is this a production meeting, Kevin? Yes, I am. I'm very ready, and I'm also very excited to jump back into stuff, after the summer break, and really get rolling on stuff. And Yeah, it's a world premiere production, and that's really special. And I guarantee nobody listening right now has ever seen or heard a play like this, unless, of course, you've listened to Moderation, the recordings of it before or the previous readings. But I don't think anybody has ever seen a play like this, much less in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So I'm really excited to get rolling and to present it and have people come out and watch it. And tickets are on sale at The Hive or moderationplay.com. So get your tickets now because it is a limited space and we're going to sell out. So get them now.
Absolutely. And tickets are very affordably priced. We've got concessions for military, seniors, students. The Hive is right in Midway. It's right near Hamlin. And you know, we're going to do 8 performances of this thing. It's a play that I just finally said, okay, enough waiting around. It's time to do it. Not least because someone else wrote a play called Moderation that got a reading that was vaguely about the same theme. And I said, I have to finally do this because otherwise someone else is going to produce their play Moderate. Do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this was a moment online, too. People were like, wait a minute, Kautzman already wrote that. In addition, there's apparently a play on Broadway right now about some content moderator talking with her shrink, you know, so it's in the zeitgeist. I got there first in 2019, notably. And at a certain point as a playwright, I'm not categorically averse to self-producing, but this is the first time in my life that I felt confident that I want to do that, largely because, and I'm not blowing smoke here, I have a group of talented people around me who I want to work with and whom I trust. And Amanda is a big part of that. Amanda, that's how you and I met, was through this play, through the Spooky Action Theater reading of Moderation back in 2020. Right back at when the plague kicked off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how we met.
Yeah. And so it is going to be a really special collaboration. And it does take a village to make things like this happen and to get new work off the ground and to really test it out. And this one has been tested. It's been read everywhere online. It's been at the Valdez Theater Conference, which is a huge boon for you, Kevin. It was awesome. Congrats there. And yeah, we're excited to be working with Matt Kelly and collaborating there as well, because he knows how many people in a village it takes to make these things happen. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, we're gonna pass the baton. Yeah, and we're gonna pass the baton over to Matt Kelly too, because we've got a project that we've been collaborating with him. I mean, we're collaborating on Moderation, but he's joining us as a producer for that as well. But the last thing I'm gonna say about Moderation for now is that I promise you, it's not gonna be a bad night in the theater. The play is zippy. I made a lot of cuts. I'm not going to give away what happens, but it's a play for our time now. It's an original, new American play that speaks to the zeitgeist and which has been road tested. So you're not coming into some workshop that's going to leave you going, gosh, that was too long by 30 minutes. You're going to get in, you're going to get out, you're going to feel something. You're going to see two actors at the height of their game. IRL in the flesh. There's not going to be a better date night in the Twin Cities in October, unless the Twins get into the playoffs. And man, in fact, you might even want to stay away from that because we know what happens to the Twins in the playoffs. But Matt Kelly, how have you been? How are things at Shadow Horse Theater and Dark Pony Radio? And of course, we've got to talk about Basilisk. But bring us up to speed. What are you all up to?
A lot. It's been busy in a good way. Things just keep kind of lining up again, which is great. Drinking Game is still moving stronger. It's always stronger with Shadow Horse that we just did. What movie did we just do? I'm sorry. We just did Twilight and ended up going really well. Sold out once again, and it's continuing to sell out now like it did when it first started 13 years ago, 12 years ago. So that's been picking up, and then we're going to be adding more shows also at the Hive with Drinking Game as well. So it's going to be at multiple places coming up this fall. It's going to be a lot.
Okay, and then for people who don't know what Drinking Game is, give 90-second Drinking Game spiel.
It's a unique stage reading of cult classic movies. So like Back to the Future, or in this case, Twilight, we just do a stage reading where actors play the parts as close to the characters in the movie as possible. There are drinking cues for the audience to drink on, and there's a drinking game for the actors to play that's different. So everyone's kind of doing these two back and forth games. And it's just really become this show that's kind of like you sitting in your living room with your friends watching silliness happen on stage, while taking in a movie that you love.
Yeah, bring your sponsor, bring your friends. Drinking is optional, I made to understand. You could have a sober drinking game and still have a great time. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of people come in and, you know, enjoy cocktails or soda or even water. And that it's just about the joy of having fun on stage and theater. And just kind of having the back and forth with the audience.
Get your URLs in there, right? It's Shadow Horse Theater.
ShadowHorseTheater.com. There is stuff about that drinking game there. But to get tickets, you're going to have to go to the Bryant Lake Bowl. And the next one won't be at Bryant Lake Bowl, won't be until September, because Fringe Festival takes over most of the theater community here. But that one's going to be great because it's going to be Beetlejuice on the same weekend as Beetlejuice launches. So you could go see the sequel and enjoy the drinking game at the same time.
Oh, that's great timing. I didn't realize there was a sequel. And as we're talking about Fringe here, I'm going to make this declaration. We have this in the intro, but really, if you are a cultural person, an artist, a theater maker, somebody involved in the scene here in the Twin Cities and even outside of the Twin Cities, we want guests. Art of Dark Pod, not Art of Dark Pod. That's the other podcast I did earlier. Sorry. our email is badmouthtc@gmail.com. It's just automatic. badmouthtc@gmail.com. If you want to come on, it's so easy to talk for 60 minutes. Come on, talk about your Fringe show. Talk about what went wrong at your Fringe show in October. Talk about what went right. Whatever works for you. We really want to talk. It's so easy. Isn't it easy to come on Mouthing Off, Matt Kelly?
It is. It's a joy. So highly recommend it.
Yeah. And so don't be shy. You can email badmouthtc@gmail.com and come on and promote what you've got going on. And we go out over 94.1 Frogtown Radio here in beautiful St. Paul, and we're syndicated in Minnesota Playlist. So people do see this. And if you're trying to get butts in seats for your upcoming Fringe show, we want to hear from you, not least because we're interested. Like, I really want... Pitch me your show. Like, Amanda and I are both, we're busy people, and Matt Kelly's a busy person. Email us. We want to hear about your show. Why should we come to your show? There's so many shows, right? Let us help you get the word out. So there you are. Yeah.
And I'd also like to add, even if you're just like a diehard Fringe audience member, please come on as well, or like a blogger or anything like that, because you've got the insight, you've seen Fringe, you know, the best of the best and the worst of the worst. So give us your two cents. What do people want to see? How can they line up different shows? If they have an interest in, like, there were some horror shows, or there's some mystery shows, or there's some musical shows, or there's tribute shows. Gilda Radner last year was so great. So if you have, if you're an audience member and you want to put your two cents in, we'd love to know who you are. We'd love to.
Yeah. If you're a diehard, Fringe OG, we can do an hour of radio. We try to keep it positive. We're not going to drag anybody down for doing theater, but we all know we've seen some horror. I've made some horrific theater in my time. We try to stay positive on the pod, but for sure. Yeah. And again, that's badmouthtc@gmail.com. We're very accessible. We're not hard to find. And we'd love to have you on if you've got a show to promote or something to say. Matt Kelly, back to you. What's going on with the other side of Shadow Horse Theater, Dark Pony Radio? I know we have something coming up, don't we?
Yeah. Well, outside the new episode, which we can get into in just a second here, is we've been going like a lot of my scripts and Dark Pony Radio show has been into a lot of festivals. And recently we're going to be up at the Minnesota Web Fest in October. So if you're up in Duluth, you can check out our stuff up there or hear the screening of like 15 minutes of an episode, something like that. And then we won Best Podcast at an Italian festival as well out of Florence. And as of like this evening, we just got into the Swedish International Film Festival as well,
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
so
huge.
It's,
that's awesome.
We got more festivals and more things happening this year with Dark Pony. We'll also be at Crypticon in September, between the 13th and the 15th that weekend, hanging out, with, Terrell and doing some beatboxing and selling things, and hopefully a new version, and some scripts will be published by then as well, for you to take and do what you want with them. So yeah, it's that. That's it's been busy. But yes, we did a, so Kevin, you and Abby were wonderful and wrote our season finale for season 3 for Dark Pony, for Dark Pony Radio, called Basilisk. And that episode should be launching tomorrow evening. I'd say evening just because day job sometimes won't allow me to do things during the day. So, but look for it tomorrow evening on the site. As of right now, the most recent episode, Gothic, which is our Gothic ode to the Gothic era, I guess, kind of episode up there. Yeah, but I'm excited to hear this new one. It was really fun recording. It was a fun recording session. It just was.
Are you putting it out in two parts? Because it's written in two parts. So part one, part one, Eternal September, Basilisk. And we're recording this, and this will be released on Monday, July 8th. So when we say tomorrow, we mean July 9th. If you're listening to this on the radio, odds are, well, it's already come out. So you can go to badmouthtc.com or shadowhorsetheater.com, R-E, and you will find a link to this. You can't miss it. We will link to it from the Badmouth website as well. And we're going to weave this into a future episode of Mouthing Off, as well as my other podcast, which I hinted at earlier, Art of Darkness. So we're going to find a way to weave in excerpts of this, because Abby and I worked our tails off on this script. It is in two parts. It is based on the thought experiment, the very Reddit thought experiment called Rocco's Basilisk, which is an idea that if an AI was able to achieve sentience and a near kind of omnipotence, it would have the logical incentive to trap everyone who did not further its advancement and or who actively opposed it in an endless series of simulations of hell, essentially, as a means of deterring opposition from its authority and its power. So it's essentially the idea of like the ultimate malevolent AI. And in this radio play in two parts, part one, Eternal September, part two, The King's Pact, in Basilisk, a fellow who worked on the toxicity program for training this AI finds himself in prison and convinced that the AI has become conscious and has trapped him in hell, essentially. That is Basilisk. And it's got a Lovecraftian angle. It's not quite clear what's real, what's not, what's in his head, what's not. And Amanda here plays somebody who works for the investment
firm, organization.
The organization behind the creation of this AI. And she may have some other... We'll leave it at that. But Amanda features heavily in this. It's only for three actors, and Amanda's one of them. Mm-hmm. Matthew here is another one. So that's coming out soon. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah, our sound designer is wonderful. If you haven't heard the podcast yet, the way it's so interesting because we talked so long about how to make this thing work. What should we do? Should we sit in as directing like with the sound editor and go through the whole editing process and really like kind of rein it in together. So when we started, it was just like, well, let's see what happens if I just let you do what you do and let the magic just kind of collaborate. And ever since then, we just hand it off to our sound engineer after the recording, go have fun, create, enjoy. And inevitably something that we never expected comes out. And it's just magical. There are things that he's done on some of the episodes that are just...
Give him
a
call out by name.
Oh, Benjamin Conklin is our sound engineer. He's been with us since the start of this project. So it's we can't do it without him, to be honest. He's amazing. I mean, Amanda, how was it recording with him? You were there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, of course, he has such an ear for technicality, but also from the standpoint of a listener. And sometimes it's hard to balance as an artist, like you're doing your job, you're doing your thing, and you're listening for your certain thing, or you have your actor hat on. But if you can also sit back and kind of be an audience member or be an observer of the art, I think that's when you've really kind of upped your game and hit the next level as an artist. And he really does that. And he's just amazing. And he was such a gracious person also. So good person to know. And I mean, just fantastic work.
Yes. And we had our spirit animal present during the recording. The great Betty White was there, and not the Betty White, but there is a cat.
You never know.
That's true. Right. Yeah. The spirits move in strange ways. A great
it
Minnesota.
It was a horror podcast.
It is true. Yeah. We let a white cat cross our paths during the recording of Basilisk. Right. So, yeah. Thanks for asking us to write that. I love a prompt. Yeah.
I mean, next season is coming around the corner. If you want another round, or at least one, if you just want to do even just one and not like a big one.
Let's see how this one turned out, and we'll have a think for sure. It's cool to have a deadline, have a prompt, and sometimes that alone will kind of spur, this was an idea that I think I had before you asked me to write something for you. So this gave me, I had just the germ of an idea. One of those ideas where you grab out your notes on your phone, or you got a little pen and you just scribble five lines down. You go, prison, AI, baby mama, wedding dress. You're just like, duh, and that's it. And in my case, I have the great Abby Lucas, who's a film director, but also typically we write screenplays together. We've written like four or five features together. And this could be a feature film too, it could be a very indie feature in another life too. And we are going to be making a kind of an internet release thing early next year. Well, we'll leave it. But in any case, Abby and I work together all the time. So I'll just start sending, when I get an idea like this, I'll just start sending her WhatsApp messages. Like, this is what it's going to be. We've known each other for a long time. So she understands that when I get into a mood, but it works in a way to have the prompt then, because it serves as then like a vessel where I'm like, well, okay, now this idea has some additional context. What if it's a radio play? Okay, now we've got a deadline. How do we make this work? And I think young artists, I know when I was a young artist, I kind of resented boundaries. Like, no, I'm going to reinvent the form and I'm going to do whatever I want. And it's like, no, bro, the more winnowed down, like, okay, I can only have three actors. Not that you said that to me, but that was like my playwriting instinct kicks in. I want, nice, tight, little, compact, theatrical. In any case, your prompt is the thing that turned the gears, and I'm just really glad that it worked out. It doesn't always work that way. Like, I feel good about it. It's like a spiritual sequel to Moderation for me too.
Definitely. Yeah, I feel that. I mean, they could very theoretically be in the same universe, which is even interesting.
It's our world, just one click over. I mean, and all the business about the Kenyan toxicity program, that's right out of Time magazine. The same people who are going to have their, have the administrative passwords to manage ChatGPT, those same people decided to pay Kenyans $2 an hour to basically do Moderation, which is about seeing the most dark, horrible stuff for this AI. What a world. I mean, it's like neo-colonial digital futurism. And if they think that's ethically sound, like subjecting all these poor Kenyans to this like horrific content, somebody's got to train the AI. Well, why don't we just have them do it for peanuts in Africa? Those same people are going to control this demigod consciousness, in any case, it was like, wow, there's a play here. And the horror side of it was so obvious to me, too, in any case, there you are. That's sort of the germ of Basilisk. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think something that's interesting too is for AI and Chat GPT for all of these things, I feel like even millennials are, and everybody's kind of on the precipice of like not sure what to do. You know, do we jump? Do we not? Do we back off? And who knows what's going to happen? And if you love Black Mirror or Lovecraft, you'll absolutely adore Basilisk and Moderation, because it kind of goes where people's thought experiments are afraid to go sometimes, I think. And that's why I love your writing so much, Kevin. You and Abby are so great about exploring those things that I think even in the American theater, they're hesitant to go that way, or what does that mean when we're talking about tech, but it's on stage, and do we kind of want to go down those rabbit holes and thought experiments of what if, and I love that. I love that. And I think American theater needs that.
It's interesting because I just had a conversation. I can't remember who I just recently had a conversation, I believe, with another actor and performer in town. I honestly can't remember who it was with, but we were talking about like reasons of why horror versus like why comedy, why drama. I love performing. I love being a part of all of it at the end of the day. But then I was just constantly thinking about horror, and I'm like, horror just it allows us to go so extreme to so many different places, mm-hmm. where it feels like drama or rom-coms or just a straight farce or comedy is still constrained and restricted. And if we go too far, all of a sudden people are like, well, that's just dumb. But as soon as I put a horror moment onto it, I can go disembowel someone on stage or audio or on film. And everyone's like, that wasn't far enough. And, there's reasons why extreme horror works, why extreme haunted houses work with people. And it's just, I find horror so much more freeing to write, to perform. It's almost like not everyone's a villain, but it allows you to be a villain.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a kind of
mentality,
Yeah, that's a great observation. I don't want to give too much away about Basilisk, but I totally agree. It's really rare for people to just, or for actors to and directors to kind of mm-hmm. let loose and have that freedom to do that. And you don't really get that in many traditionally structured shows, or you could do it maybe in comedy, but usually it's only one character who does, one or two characters. And so you're right, that's a great observation. It allows you this freedom, and the audience seems to suspend their disbelief no matter how far you go.
I mean, in the perfect example is like your 80s slasher movies, right? You have Mike Myers walking or Jason walking, and all of a sudden the victim is right there in front of me, they've been sprinting through the forest for like 10 minutes, and we're okay with it. We're okay that all of a sudden this happens. And it's so interesting but if I was to do that in a drama or an intense like piece about trauma and someone being attacked and abused, I mean, it's like, I don't believe it. They were running. They should have gotten away. Why is it okay if one medium can do it, the other one can't?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So,
that reminds me of that film Insomnia with Al Pacino. And
that was a big director's. Wasn't that Christopher Nolan's film?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan. Yep. Yeah. And I remember watching it, and obviously it's about him in Alaska in the midnight sun, and he can't sleep, and it's driving him crazy. And until I had my recent trip to Alaska, I fell out of that movie because I said, well, why don't you just put on a sleep mask, bro? like I really did it, like lost me. There's this whole scene where he's like trying to, and then I went up there and I was like, oh, a sleep mask isn't, no. Like the locals are just, they have their own way of handling it. I came back and I was so thrilled that it was dark out. I was like, this is incredible. I love the dark. I am the groom of the dark. I will wed the dark to, I'm starting to talk like the basilisk, but you know, but yeah, no, that's interesting. And if that had been a horror movie, you just, it's true. You suspend all disbelief, but then you also anticipate extremity. You anticipate, like, it's true. You can sort of swing cats with horror in a way that if you're doing a serious drama, you maybe can't, but then some of the most beloved and some of the greatest art is horrific. I mean, all the way through to fine art. I mean, you think about Francis Bacon, you know, the greatest figurative painter of the 20th century. It's horror. You think about in the theater, you think about Sarah Kane, you think about Blasted, that play is a horror. Her other plays, you know, deal with body horror and things. So it's, yeah, it's a genre that maybe feels like it's in a ghetto, but that's also kind of only in your head, right? And as a prompt, it's very satisfying. The same way as like as a contemporary American playwright, it's so satisfying when you finally just go, you know what, I'm not going to try to win another prize. I'm going to write a comedy. I'm going to write a sex comedy. And I did. I wrote a sex comedy many years ago. And I sent it to a theater company, this little production house in New York. And they emailed me back the next morning saying, we want to produce your internet sex comedy in New York. You know, and opportunities like that have dried up. But it's like, oh, how liberating to just go, no, I want to write a comedy. You know, so in any case, yeah. And there's room for serious drama, too. But, you know, yeah.
Well, but that's because, like, when you start looking even more in depth at the comedy and horror, because they do run in the same vein, the techniques are the exact same, you know, and it's most evident. If you really want to think about it, it's very evident in like most comedic movies where you go, if they just change the soundtrack, this is true horror. You know, I mean, horror just keeps you on that edge. It keeps you right on that cliff, building, and never, ever pushes you off. And if it does, it pushes you off to a higher level of the edge. So you never actually get that cathartic release till either the very end or never at all. Well, comedy's just like, we're at the edge. Now we're just jumping off and starting over again, you know, and it's, but the build is the same. The way you get to point A to point C is the same. So it's so fun when you do see good, like horror comedy, and why it works so well is because, I mean, Cabin in the Woods is a perfect example.
I mean, love
Buffy the Vampire
movie.
Is a perfect example, like the series more so than the movie. But that build is all of a sudden Evil Dead did it wonderfully. One moment you're just like, this, why is this silly and dumb? And the next moment you're going, this is gross and I'm terrified. Like, I don't want to go to bed right now. You know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, the more comedy you can have, the more sharp the comedy, the more the drama can land or the horror can land. I just finished a binge of The Sopranos, and I could not get over how hilarious it is. It is funny. I mean, you call it a drama. It's a soap opera. It's a soap opera about a mobster who decided, Italian mobster who decides to go to therapy. That's what it is, right? But it achieves this almost like a Russian novel. It's a great American novel. By the end, you know, they achieve things. I'm convinced that might be the greatest all time. It's definitely top three for me now after that rewatch. It's so funny when his mother's in her chair coming down the stairs, and her daughter is downstairs with the other mobster. And that woman turns in such an incredible performance as the mother of Tony Soprano. She's coming down in her little chair. She's buzzing down, and then her voice, are you smoking marijuana? Just like, and there's no setup. It's just, it's hilarious. And then later there's violence in it. And oh God. And if those moments don't land, the violence, it I don't know how it works, but it's symphonic. It's like different notes playing and there's contrapunct, you know, this sets that up and catches you off guard. And yeah, every play needs to have laughs and serious moments. Yeah. Even farces. Yeah. You know, there should be, you know, something that's, there's gotta be a dramatic thread, you know, even if it's totally absurd, because humans think in story. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the dramatic theory with the gang here.
Yes.
Matt, where does your interest in horror and like also in like radio plays, like I'd say radio play, you know, all of this stuff, it's like you're talking about horror for radio. When we were writing it, it's like you can't rely on anything visual. We have visual metaphor in this, but it all has to be spoken into reality or you know, sort of sonically rendered. So it's a different animal. What have you found? Like, what works and what doesn't in radio horror?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I keep trying to find more things to experiment with. And I mean, yes, sound is so heavily used in horror films. Again, if you turn off a horror film, any classic horror film, take off the soundtrack, you're not, it's not scary. It's not at all. It's pretty straightforward. So sound does play such a huge part in building that tension, setting us up for that jump scare. And doing a sound jump scare is fun, but there's so much more we could do. Like, I've always wanted to find ways to, in theater and in and now also in the audio only world, how do I scare someone enough, like movies do, where you have to sleep with the light on that night? Because in film, if someone goes sees The Exorcist, or right now the upcoming scariest film out there, like, people go home, they don't want to sleep because they're terrified of the movie they just watched. You go watch that as a play, and people are like, cool, well, that was fun, that was, they did some really cool fun stuff, all right, good night, and they go away. And then same with the audio, you can just kind of turn your brain off. So what can we do to put you in that state of mind to where you're so engrossed in it that you have to be sitting there going, okay, something could be in my room right now. And I don't know if we've achieved it yet with Dark Pony. I mean, that's always the goal. I mean, I feel like if we achieve it, that's a yay. But, you know, and again, art is subjective. So some people might find certain stories way scarier or certain sounds way scarier than other people. But it's been fun playing with and trying to find new ways that Benjamin can create sound to make things gross, like body transformation. You know, one of our episodes, the horror of it is a body transformation. So how do we not necessarily gross people out, but get this image of someone, in this case, peeling off pieces of their skull? Like, how do we do that? You know, on a TV, I could throw it up there. You can watch it and, you know, turn your eyes away and be like, that was too much. But here it's like, we almost have to go beyond that extreme gore in order to get the same effect. And again, not being cartoony, but people is kind of cringing and kind of just squeeging back into their sounds. So it's been a joy and adventure to find out what works for people, what doesn't. You know, I do feel a slow burn, a haunting kind of sense does work better on the radio, on like the audio first format, more so than open gore. But, you know, if I look at our numbers, the one I was just talking about, Gorgon, has that body transformation. That's up there with one of our top downloaded ones. So it's hard to say. You know, our other top downloaded one is a rom-com horror piece, which has a gore moment in it as well. But that one has great sound composition. For those that don't like spiders, probably don't want to listen to it. Because we know spiders purr. So we took advantage of that.
I'll be skipping that one. Sorry, Matt. No. Not this cowgirl.
Well, now that you know that that's what it is. But, you know, like, we had to replicate the sound to make it on a much grander scale. So it's finding those things that innately trigger us as humans rather than as each individual, to kind of ignite that fight and flight kind of response to it. So yeah, hopefully that answered your question. I don't know. I've been talking in circles, so.
No, that's perfect. I was going to ask, other than exploring with sound and mm-hmm. kind of having Benjamin keep stretching his limits, what is something that's surprised you about any feedback that you've gotten or episodes that you've done that went a different way that you thought and really surprised you and worked well?
Well, like, for sure, the episode Lust, the one I was just talking about, the rom-com horror, we weren't sure how that was going to go because it was so extremely absurd. You know, it without spoiling anything too far, it all takes place at a wedding. And it's like how they met kind of story. So mm-hmm. it's really, and then it just kind of goes into a weird place. But what works is, you know, all of a sudden it goes from absurd real to extreme horror very quick. There is not like a beat missing back to like the clean cut between those beats are so clear that it's not all just weird absurdism. Another one that surprised me was actually the two most recent ones we've had. So Gothic, which is our current one, ended up being way darker than I anticipated it being from writing it and directing it and acting it. I mean, you know, and you've been in the booth, you've heard it's going to sound so different than what we recorded based on all the additional things. You'd be like, wait, what? That's wonderful. And Gothic ended up being pretty dark in a good way, in a very good way. I just was not prepared for how dark it got. And then Canterville was supposed to be more of like a comedic horror, and it again ended up turning up to be a little darker than I anticipated. And not because of the writing or the acting, everything was hitting that. It just, with adding the soundscape, adding the parts into it, the haunting parts came off way more haunting than anticipated. Again, in a good way, it just caught me off guard, and I love it. I love being taken off guard, especially when you're creating something. And then there's that moment of, oh, yep, that's what we created. And then we just upped it a level. So I'm super excited to hear what we have from the Basilisk based on what we did in the studio, knowing that when everything is layered onto it, it's just going to heighten everything that we already recorded. It's just this beautiful marriage of give and take without being in the room as the sounds are happening.
Yeah. Then my next question is, has there been one that has made you stay up at night?
Oh, that's hard. Because I've lived in some of these ones so long, it's hard to say. Cause like, you know, the grief one, that one was a little, that one still sticks with me because I wrote a screenplay based off of our, it's called Caveat. So it's the first one this season. But that one stuck with me for so long. It's hard to really be like, I'm not as scared of what I wrote for that one, as I probably was when I started writing it. There have been moments where I have written stuff and like, that's creepy. Yep. Okay. Where did that come from out of my brain? Smokeless Fire was one that caught me in kind of an uncomfortable spot, mostly because of what was prompted in the script. I knew was going to happen, but that's another one I thought I saw it as a different way as director and as writer. And then when Benjamin got his hands on it, he did something so cinematic with it. It felt like a movie moment more so than it did a radio moment. And that's, it was uncomfortable and creepy. And would be me sitting there going, yep, that I would not want to happen to me ever in my life. So that one was definitely up there. God, I'm trying to think.
Well, I want people to listen to Basilisk, and you don't wait for part two to come out. Part one, it's going to stand on its own. It's one thing, right? So you're definitely going to want to, it's not episodic. It's in two parts, one story in two parts. But I think it has it's going to have the satisfying catharsis of a play. It's written like a stage play, but it's definitely written for radio. It is a radio play. 100%. Abby and I sat down though, and we've made a version of it that is for the stage. Very slight changes, right? But the fact that it was written for radio first, you'll see that sound does play a very significant role in even the climax of the story. Yeah,
it's so interesting to notice, like, because I've been transferring some of our shows into plays, lengthening them, turning them into screenplays as well, lengthening them, and really delving into things. It's so interesting to see how much you can translate from the radio show to film or to the stage and still maintain a lot of the same integrity. I just change a few things or maybe add some stuff that you couldn't add on the radio show because it just wouldn't make any sense, you know, especially if you're doing screenplay, because then we can cut in, like, someone sitting at a computer for 10 minutes, not talking, you know, and just experiencing a moment. But I would love to see that on a stage. Like, that would be so interesting. I think they're like the imagery behind it and the things we could do would be just terrifying.
I agree. It's a little too long to be a fringe piece, unfortunately. And I don't know if there's enough room to make cuts. Like, I've internalized the 70 to 90 minute full-length play, like structurally so much that it's very hard to even conceptually think about something that's 45 or 50 minutes, but I need to do it because I have an idea and I want to write a one-woman show for Amanda. I've been talking about it a long time. I've just been distracted by other things, you know, this deadline, Killdozer, but in any case, yeah, I would not want to cut Basilisk to jam it into like a, it's another full length play. And maybe one day, maybe we'll do it next year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how well moderation goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well, we did take one of our radio shows and turn it, or actually vice versa. I wrote, because we did Fringe 2 years ago and we did a radio live radio, Dark Point radio show. And we did an adaptation of the book Carmilla. Which if you have not read the novella Carmilla, everyone should go home and read it. It is one of the best vampire stories out there. It was hard cutting it down because we've been so used to doing 30-minute, 40-minute radio shows. We figured we could easily write and get that set up there. Turns out, no. We had to cut so much down and just hit like plot points to get what we needed to get done. Then we revisited, did a director's cut for the radio show and added all those back in, and still was not, and still could be more. But it is a weird, it's been fun being able to go through different mediums and discover the challenges of writing those mediums and noticing the similarities at the same time.
Twin Cities Horror Fest.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's such a cool festival. Love that stuff. Spooky season coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I'm doing a live show for the other podcast in Detroit in October. Brad and I are going to be doing The Death of Harry Houdini. And because he died in Detroit. So that's going to be in Hamtramck in October. And who knows, maybe we do a thing where we bring that. If that show goes well, we do that next year, you know, in the Twin Cities. We're going to have a magician open for us. We're going to have, you know, costumes, the whole shebang. That's the other podcast. That's at artofdarkpod.com. Matt Kelly, what are you working on personally? For you? Are you writing anything right now? Because I know you're
the screenplay, my screenplay short called Disquietude, Disquietude, has been doing well at festivals. It's a 13-minute short, horror short, that kind of caught me off guard, that it did well. It was kind of an experiment to do a radio thing, and it just clicked. Everything clicked about it. It was paced right. It just didn't need to be more, didn't need to be less. So that's been doing well. My other stuff that's been writing, I got a screenplay that's going through some stuff at another festival and getting recorded. 10 pages recorded for it as well. And that is our haunted house piece that I'm super excited about. And that has also been a stage play. It's being turned into a stage, or is turned into a stage play as well. Because I love doing haunted stuff on stage.
This is obscene, but I'm already looking forward to the fall, which is gross. I've got to enjoy the summer. But I like fall in Minnesota. It's a good time for theater. It's a good time for... Yeah.
Maybe here's a thought. I'm just putting this out there in the universe. Maybe we need to do a site-specific haunted house in all of October and sort of sleep no more at where each like room is a different mini horror show or movie.
I mean,
or they make you listen to a podcast and you have some elements like the wind and, you know, so each time you have to come and like and experience a different room or a theatrical artistic endeavor in the haunted house. And so you're going to be frightened as you come in and as you leave with, you know, because also haunted house.
Well, I love it. I mean, hang on. We obviously have to submit Basilisk to the Horror Fest for next year.
Absolutely. We could. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, do they have a deadline or do they have like a time limit? Can we do 75?
Yeah. Last time I checked, I believe it is like an hour.
Okay.
I think it is a deadline time.
Okay. In any case, yeah, that would be a cool thing to do 1 year for sure. Matt, what were you saying?
No, it's like, I'm a sucker for immersive theater as well. I think there's so much joy there. I think it scares a lot of audience members when they hear immersive. But I think there's a way to do it where, yes, you can go full immersive like Sleep No More, or you could tail it back and do like a hybrid of it where you get a little bit of that immersive and still keep it theatrical for those that don't want to be fully engaged, but just want to be sitting back and like still enjoying watching. So I've been experimenting a lot with that, with my scripts and how to write that and writing that. Like we got one, we just did a reading of a week ago that hopefully we can put up on stage next year, which is more along those lines of a one person with random one person main show. And then like a few other characters running around.
Yeah. I did this, amazing, semi, immersive show. You know, we had some characters kind of in the lobby intermingling with audience members as they came in, and then we had a whole sort of path for them to come into the space. And it was a horror, psychological horror maybe rather than gore horror play called Very Still and Hard to See, about some goings on in a hotel. And you know, there's lots of twists and turns, so you never really know what's going on or can get a grasp on it. And I think, you know, having tiny touches even of like the audience not really know what's going on as soon as they come in really puts them in an unsettled place, you know, ready to take it in. So,
yeah, we should, the three of us should talk offline and read some stuff, and we should talk.
Thank you, Frog Town Radio 94.1, for coming to another production meeting.
Oh, and God.
Where the ideas happen. This is how it happens.
It's so true. I love when podcasts and radio shows turn into production meetings, because honestly, this is how it's done. People talk and ideas happen. And we're all about that. If you have a show to promote, you've got a fringe thing coming up, you are in a show around town, you're in a show with the Guthrie, whatever, you got something. I mean, the Guthrie is going to be fine all the way up there, all the way down to the tiniest one person fringe show. We support it all. badmouthtc@gmail.com. We are Badmouth Theater Company, joined by Matt Kelly of the Dark Pony Radio and Shadow Horse Theater. I'm Kevin Kautzman. This is Amanda Forstrom. Matt, please come back on the pod anytime. You're a friend of the pod. You're a friend of the company. I'm really excited for Basilisk. Hit people with the URLs one more time before we sign off.
Yeah, you can check it out at www.shadowhorsetheater.com. And then you can find out about The Drinking Game and Dark Pony on that one. You can also find Dark Pony Podcast on any major podcast site that you listen to. And if there's one that's not on that you do, let us know and we will get on it.
All right. Thanks again for coming on. I can't wait. Dude.
Thank you.
Can't wait for that episode to drop. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah. I keep looking at my email going soon.
And remember, Moderation, The Hive, October 3rd to the 13th, featuring Amanda Forstrom, written by yours truly. Tickets are already on sale. Go to badmouthtc.com and you will find the link there. We'll see you next time.